Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
I like the AC/DC and ZZ Top. Well, Cephas, Beasties, and the Kings of Rock. Skinner, Seeger, Limp, Korn, the Stones. David Allen Coe with No Show Jones. Yeah! Pass that bottle around. Got the rock from Detroit, soul from Motown. The underground stone, fucking pimp. With tracks that Mac can slap back the whack. Never gain away.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, is S2H. We are skipless today, Scott. How you doing, man?
I feel an emptiness.
Yeah?
A loss in my ozone layer or whatever.
Your ozone,
it's
huh?
It's like global warming. Mm. He's left us.
But the opposite. It's getting really cold. I heard you told me it's cold down there in Texas right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really cold. It didn't go above about 25 during the day. And I know people up north are going to be like, oh, that's not that cold. But down here, that is really cold. And we didn't really break 25-ish for about 3 days. And then one night we were down about 18.
Wow.
And it kind of, you know, like I said, people up north are going to be like, oh, that's not very cold. But the problem is when the ground is at or below sea level and it freezes up like that, partially freezes, when it warms back up, it makes, you know, your yard and just any kind of dirt, you know, pasture, whatever, it gets it all mushy and,
oh yeah,
sloshy. Yeah, it's not real good for the ground. So yeah, it's pretty cold.
Now, a while ago you were telling me you were doing you're doing like military style marches to lose some body fat. You still do that at all? And if so, is that too cold for you? Cause for me, like when you talk about the teens, I'm thinking like, hey, that's not bad. It's warm. It's warmed up, you know, here in Detroit. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to take the dog for a walk if it's in the teens. But what's that like for you? Cause you're not accustomed to all that, I'm sure.
I mean, I've lived in cold weather environment.
Okay.
I mean, I've lived overseas, right on the Alps.
Oh, wow.
Area. So, no, it doesn't really bother me too much. It bothered my car because it killed my battery in my car.
Oh, no kidding.
I'd be a new battery. But, I just started back rock marching again because my wife is really good at baking.
Oh, geez.
And through the holidays, it was just a gluttony.
Yeah.
You know when your pants start getting too tight?
I do.
You can't button them.
Yeah.
And then you're looking around for pants that you can wear and you don't have any.
Yeah.
So you're in sweatpants. So I actually dropped like 10 pounds in the last week.
No kidding. What did you change?
Not eating crap.
just cleaning it up, huh?
Yeah. I actually I've been back to lifting. I've trained today's Monday, right? So I trained 3 times last week and I was so sore.
Yeah.
But it felt good. And I actually did a band workout with some heavy bands at my house on Friday just to try to work some of the soreness out.
Well, okay.
And we go on walks, my wife and I. If I go on myself, I like to go, we have a forest, like a national forest.
Yeah.
And it has this huge trail around it.
Nice.
About 600 acres, something like that. But the ground's so crappy that it's like walking in sludge.
Right.
So I stick to the, we have these trails, you know, like go concrete.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hiking. I like to go later though, because if you go during the daylight, you get run over by people on bicycles
because
they're not very narrow. They're pretty narrow and they go through the woods and they're kind of curvy.
Yeah.
So there's always somebody about to run you over on a bicycle so I usually go later in the evening because nobody really goes in the dark, I guess.
Can I tell you kind of a embarrassing story about walking? I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I was going to say this and tell it to VJ on Bodybuilding Nerds, but it seems like it fits. This just happened to me. So, you know, it's been really cold here, single digits and stuff. And it warmed up the last couple of days. Actually, all of our snow melted. I'd been battling with like ice on my driveway and stuff, and worried the mailman's going to fall and everything. And, you know, weather's kind of warmed up and all that's gone. In the woods, though, there's still a lot of snow. And it's there's a couple trails right by my house. It's pretty packed down. And because the weather was warm, I decided to walk my dog. She had been going stir crazy. You know, I have a American Bulldog Pit Bull mix, and she's about 80 pounds, pretty good shape usually. And she just gets so wound up if she doesn't get to go for walks, which had not happened for like, I'm going to say 9 days straight, just because it had been so cold. I tried to take her out and she couldn't walk. It was just too cold. So I took her out to the park and I'm walking her, and she's kind of a nervous dog. All right. And, she decides she has to poop. And she runs off the trail, which good dog, she doesn't poop on the trail. And I had one of those bags with me to pick it up. And she poops, and it's just like, okay, getting kind of graphic here. I'll just say it's diarrhea, basically. And I know what it is, because this happens to her sometimes. She gets excited, and then she just has to go to the bathroom real quick. And then after that, she's fine. She keeps going. So this happens, and this is something I don't want to pick up. And I figure to myself, okay, we're in the woods. She's kind of off the trail, you know, right? Animals poop in the woods, right, Scott? So I thought, well,
I wouldn't pick it up if it was on the sidewalk, but anyway.
right. So what I did was I figured, well, it's close to the trail and people don't want to see this if they walk by here. I grabbed a stick and I wanted to like just kind of swat it a little bit, push it away from the trail. And when I did this, the stick, like, it created a spray back. I felt nice. This cold mist hit me right in the face. Oh, God. Plus, I had my contacts in. So now I'm thinking, like, I felt this go in my eyes. There was nothing, like, there was nothing, like, visible. I couldn't feel anything on my face. But I felt this, like, real thin mist. And I know that there was some really nasty poop particles mixed into that. And I've got my contacts in. So now I'm thinking, like, okay, great. This stuff is going to get not only in my eyes, but now it's going to get trapped under my contacts, too. So I spent the next 5 minutes walking, like, trying to not blink so my eyes would water, you know. But, yeah, that happened.
That's, then you're checking all your clothes and.
Right.
I can tell you an equally kind of funny, similar story. Not similar, but I know this guy, and they were jumping into a foreign country. It's from on a halo jump, so it's high altitude, low opening.
Okay.
Actually, they were jumping hey-hos. They were jumping high altitude, high opening, and they were wearing oxygen masks, and because over, you know, so many thousand feet, you have to wear masks. They're probably jumping 25,000 feet.
Okay.
And he had an interpreter tandem hooked to the front of him. And the guy had never even been in a plane in his life. So they finally got off the ramp and they're out and the guy's freaking out and everything. But to make a long story short, they had the canopy open and they're coming down. And this guy, I know, he feels all this moisture and stuff coming all over him.
Good.
He's thinking, that's weird, because there's not a lot of clouds. If you go through clouds, you get moisture on you. Turns out the turf is throwing up into his mask, and there's these ejection ports on it. It's coming out and spraying all over him.
Oh, my God.
He didn't know it until they got lower down to the ground, but he was, like, covered in this guy's throw-up.
Oh, that is so gross, man. Mm-hmm. I guess for me personally, I would still be happy because I made it, like, that I was alive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was going to live.
I've never jumped out of a plane before.
It's quite natural.
Jumping out of a plane?
It's not that bad.
Whew, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I could have done it when I was younger, but I don't know. And you know what else I noticed is that I feel like maybe it has to do, once I started HRT and I've run gear and stuff, I feel like I'm quicker to respond. I feel like my reaction time is quicker. I don't know. And I feel like I would just, like, my brain would just shut off or something. I'd pass out. I don't know.
I would just guesstimate that a lot of the guys that are jumping maybe on HRT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Possibly some of them.
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Just a guess.
You mean like the military is putting these guys on gear?
I wouldn't say they're putting them on it.
Oh, okay. Well, dude, if I was going to have to like go into combat or something, you're damn straight, man. I'd be on trend. I'd be on a cut cycle, you know?
Yeah, I could go into that for days, but I think there was enhancement in some military service members, not depending on what they do, but
yeah.
You know.
But just like being a cop, man, if that was my duty, that was my job, there's no question, man, I'd want to be on top of my game, you know? I'd want to be 110%.
Yeah. I mean, it's a physical advantage.
Absolutely. I've worked with guys that are in active duty that have access to, you know, various performance enhancing supplements overseas. They can go into town and get those things without any issues.
I would say in my best guess, that's probably true.
Probably. Yeah.
So I don't think it's a secret. When I was in service, I was overseas, that it was pretty readily available.
Okay.
Legally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that everybody did it.
Sure.
But, you know, there's some demanding, there's high performance demands and a lot of
demanding circumstances.
Patients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're making these suits now. It's like these, there's a couple different versions, but they have these suits that, that you wear, and the suits run off of different systems that charge them.
Okay.
And they can actually put your load capacity into a negative.
Okay.
So let's say me and you need to go climb up a mountain. We could put these suits on or these certain devices, and it actually can, not to get too detailed because I don't know the exact science to T of the new ones, but it can read from your brain down your spine, and it transfers all the weight to the ground.
What?
And so you actually, I'll give you an example. Let's say a suit weighed 150 pounds and you weigh, how much you weigh? 220, something like that?
Yeah, like two. I'm under 200 now. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I'm trying to get rid of a little bit of body fat. So
let's say you weigh 200.
Yeah.
Let's say you weigh 200 and the suit weighs 150 and you got 100 pounds of kit on. So you got what? 250, 200, it's 450. Whew. This suit makes it feel like you're carrying your total weight, body, everything's like 100 pounds.
Hmm.
So you're actually carrying, like, feels like you're carrying half your body weight. And that's it.
Wow. I can't even fathom how that works.
That's way beyond my, I'm not an engineer.
Right, right.
There's various forms of these. There was ones that came out a while back that had, like, remember, you know, the knee braces, like offensive linemen wear?
Yeah.
They're similar to that, and they come up your hips.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is they transfer the weight to the ground, but they're also semi kind of like bionic.
Oh, I see. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, there's other adversary countries, first world countries that have them.
Okay. And
it's kind of like I don't think anybody's really employing them.
Yeah.
It's just they're close, you know, they're coming around. It's like the fucking stormtrooper.
You know, dude, you would think that with all that technology they have, you know how like we talk about like, okay, you're into bodybuilding, you're lifting weights, you want to do a show, whatever. It's like the next step, right? You're lifting weights. The next step is you want to do a show. You don't know anything about anything else. And then after that, you decide, well, what gear are you going to use? And then, you know, they write in a question here to Blood, Sweat, and Gear, and then you and Skip or I tell them, well, let's back up and let's look at your nutrition. I would like to tell that to the military, because every guy, and I've worked with a bunch of guys now who are in active service, you know, overseas, and like the food that they are served is terrible, man. Like, it's hard. I mean, they get like good stuff, don't get me wrong, but trying to eat clean, you know, and especially for a guy that has like low carbohydrate needs, healthy fats, clean protein sources, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, I think in some cases you're right. I think in some cases, I mean, I don't know if people know this, but the military, active military, is the highest consumer of sports supplements.
Are they really?
So whey, isolate, whatever, whey, BCAAs, pre-workouts.
Yeah.
I mean, if the guys that are stationed overseas, especially in, you know, areas that aren't so great, yeah, their biggest care package requests are sports supplements.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and there's other, I mean, it depends on what kind of, if you're just in like a regular, whatever job, yeah, you're going to get the chow hall and you're going to get the cheeseburgers, but you can actually eat pretty healthy when I was stationed at major military installations, they had salad bars and grilled chicken and stuff.
Yeah, but I've seen, I've had guys send me they'll give me like their entire weekly schedule. Like they'll have all the meals listed that are going to happen for that week. And they always have a couple options, and they always do have the fresh salad bar set up. And I from what I understand, that's pretty good. But there'll be days where it's like, you know, your option is like a fried chicken or a meatloaf, you know? And it's like, those things aren't going to be beneficial for us.
Or you got MREs.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think that we want to talk, like, we don't want to mess with those at all, do we?
No, most people don't eat them. They'll scavenge certain things out of them and then carry other stuff to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get very old quick.
I've had guys like collecting hard-boiled eggs in the morning at breakfast so that they can get their meal too, and you know, stuff like you got to be really creative in those situations. And you know what too, while we're at it, dude, since this show is going out worldwide, shout out to all those guys out there right now who are listening to this, that are somewhere else, that are, you know, helping us out in the military. And God bless you for trying to stay on your diet, because that's freaking tough, man. It's tough when you don't have options.
Eat your ramen noodles, cheese whiz on the crackers. Yeah, it's not like you can stay on it's difficult to stay unless you're in a position where you're just statically working a job or, you know, not in training of some type. It is really extremely difficult to stay on any kind of diet.
Yeah.
And plus, a lot of times you're burning so many calories that's what the MRE, because you're getting 2,000 to 2,500 calories in a plastic packet.
And it's like loaded with salt too, right?
Yeah, it's pretty gross, most of them. They're pretty nasty. And, you know, I mean, a lot of guys in certain skill sets, their MOSs, they're eating them cold. Because there's no other option. But, you know, you get hungry and you need fuel.
Hell yeah.
And go look at a airborne infantry line unit. There's no fat dudes in there. Yeah. There might be one or two, but there's very few. You know, they're in pretty good shape because they're getting pushed.
Yeah.
All the time. So, yeah. Plus, most of the guys are young.
Right.
That always happens. That always helps.
Absolutely.
Metabolism's a little better than us old guys.
Well, we're skipless today. Skip can't be with us, unfortunately. And, you know, he's doing his own thing. He's up here in Michigan right now, but he's got business to attend to. So I can't come out and hang out with him. It wouldn't be right. He's doing family stuff. And, you know, Skip's an adult now. Have you watched any of his DVD, the new, longevity DVD?
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
No. I've never even listened to one of our podcasts. Yeah. No, I haven't. Is it free now, or is it still have to pay for it?
It's free. Yep. You can go to teamskip.com, and he has a link set up there where you can download all the different parts It's I think he said it's like 30 hours or something. I've watched a few of the segments so far. It's good stuff, man. It's good information. It goes like, I think all the way back like 5 years or so. So
yeah, I mean, I've seen parts of it that he's shared with me through the probably the latter part of the journey.
Okay.
Some of the videos, like his terrible squatting with the bar way up on his neck. But you know, I gave him crap about that.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. I just don't like the bar that high personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some segments that he's done along the way. I'll be interested to look at the laying on the couch with his feet in the air.
Oh, like later on with the the fat burning.
The super fat burner that he
had
a little issue with. Yeah. So, yeah, that would, I need some good, you know, comedic, you know, comedy.
Yeah.
That'd be part of it.
I'm pulling up a video right now. I'm not going to show it to you, but I am going to take a screen capture. I want you to see where the bar sits on my back, and I want to hear what you think about it. Because I don't know about you, I've got like this groove now where, all right, I just took a screen cap of it and I'm sending it over. I've got this groove now, like between my delts and my traps, where the bar just kind of fits in there perfectly. It just sits there. Do you get that too? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I don't back squat anymore. But when I did, okay. I had the bar pretty far back. It would be resting on my rear delts. My hands would be really wide, and so I would just thumb hook the bar.
Okay.
And it would rest at probably what you would say the bottom part of my traps.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like that picture you just sent me, except probably a little bit farther back.
Okay.
Because see how your head's getting pushed forward?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Well, I think I was just unracking it, and I do look up once I'm in position.
I would tell most people if you squat, if you can't pick your head up,
yeah,
and look up, then the bar is too high up on you because it's pushing your head. And I mean, there's a couple reasons that can be problematic for some people.
Yeah.
One is if, you know, you want to be looking at least parallel, straight across, if not up.
Yeah.
Because if you get too far forward and you get off balance, or you know, you start seeing the little black spots.
Yeah.
The faster you go forward, and also for your spine, you know.
Sure.
I mean, I would say yours looks pretty good.
Okay.
I like it because I put my hands way out like you have them, almost completely out to the. Plates.
Yeah, that's what I do a lot of times. It feels more balanced that way for me.
Yeah, so, I can't take a full grip on the bar. I just thumb hook it.
Okay. You mentioned, you know, where you're looking. You said either looking straight ahead or looking up. I used to find like a spot on the mirror, like a spit spot or something that, you know, was stuck there, and I would just focus on that, and it would usually be, you know, a few feet taller than me. A lot of times now I'll just find something in the mirror, like a light, for instance, and
you know,
focus on that. You do the same?
Yeah. I mean, I always looked up coming up. Plus I think it's a psychological thing too. If you're looking down,
okay,
of course your weight's going to be too much. It's going to start to come forward, but it's also, if you're looking up, it gives you a goal. Like you said, it gives you a spot to squat up into. Yeah, I think that's good. I don't know about spit spots, but
yeah, they didn't clean the mirrors very good at my old gym. I can't find them in the new gym.
Oh yeah, maybe you just throw something like a booger on there or something.
Yeah. So that screen cap that I sent you, it was a set I just did yesterday. I moved legs to Sunday. I used to do them on Saturday religiously for about, I'm going to say, 6 years, maybe 7 years straight. Because Saturday was a day that worked good for me with my work schedule. There was going to be, I always worked on the weekends, but Saturdays were lighter for me at work, so I'd have more energy. I moved it to Sunday now, so you know, we record this show at the beginning of the week. I was doing a superset of leg press as heavy as I could go for 12 reps, superset with squats as heavy as I could go for 6 reps. It was brutal.
That sounds really fun.
You know, something like you like that idea.
No, it sounds, I mean, I like it. It just doesn't, you know, some things that work aren't that fun.
Dude, it sucked, man.
Hey, you don't train today, right?
Normally I would, but I might not be able to because I've got a pretty busy day lined up here hanging out with you and doing some other work and stuff. So, but you know what though, if I do, it would be an easier workout. You know, like that was a pretty CNS taxing routine. This next one would be, you know, much less.
Yeah, I usually get guys, I have them, I got a few now that are pretty up there in the sport, and I kind of switch their workouts and they like it better, is so far, I believe, is, you know, they do on leg day, the next day is an off day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Usually leg day is cheat meal.
Okay.
Night too. And then back day, if in most cases, leg and back day, the following day is a day off, and that evening is also a clean cheat. No, actually, after a lot of them do, like you did, legs on Saturday, because Saturday night's kind of the night they are, you know, go out with their wife, girlfriend, or whatever to dinner or something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, bust those legs out and then I just tell them, hey, take, you know, 5 and 6, discard it and just go eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, in off season or even early pre-contest sometimes, depends on the person.
So you have them replace both of those meals, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes I have to like tell them, hey, you need to eat like eat.
Yeah.
Because you're subbing two meals. And then I also will tell some people, if, you know, let's say you go to dinner at 5, which would normally, let's say that's your, if they're on 6 meals a day, I'd be like, no, 5.
Right.
Maybe around that time. And so I'll tell them, hey, go steak, whatever, potatoes, get a dessert, drink a glass of wine, whatever you want to do. It's pretty much free for all, other than, you know, don't go get hammered or nothing. But, you know, have a good time. Go to the movies, eat popcorn, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you do get home, depending on this person, how big, you know, the muscle mass they're carrying, what kind of caloric intake they're used to, and what time of the year it is, I'll tell them, hey, if you feel like you're hungry towards bed, then we'll throw in, like, you know, some, you know, like cottage cheese or whey, some peanut butter, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, something that's slow to digest. Whey isn't slow to digest, but, you know, other things like cottage cheese or peanut butter.
Yeah.
And hold them over for the evening. Because what I find is if you don't do that, they'll wake up in the middle of the night and they'll be starving.
Mm, yeah.
And in that case, too, I tell them, hey, you know, have a little plan in place. And this is for generally guys that are carrying a lot of pretty fair amount of muscle mass.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a, yeah. And I would say most of them are pretty disciplined, so they don't really get out of line. But on that one cheat meal, the cheat, the real one.
Yeah.
I kind of sometimes have to egg them on a little bit. Hey, go eat, you know, go after it, get after it.
Right. You know?
Because you're having to replace two meals. And it's sanity.
You're right. Yeah. Usually I have them replace just one meal. But it, you know, it all depends on the situation, of course. You know, I think what you're saying makes total sense too. It's all, you know, it all depends on the person, right?
Yeah. It's relative to where they are. One guy is not going to compete till the end of the year. So
right.
He gets, you know, one clean sheet on off back night, and then he gets just a free for all. But he's not the kind of person that's going to go out and get wasted. He might have a glass of wine or something, you know.
Right.
But just eat the food, you know. Go eat sirloin. Go eat baked potatoes. Get a dinner salad. Eat some of the bread they give you. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
You're making me hungry over here, man.
I know. Somebody told me yesterday they were cooking. A buddy of mine's like, yeah, I'm fixing to go home. We're having bison burgers. I was like, my mouth started to drool.
You like bison? What do you think about elk?
I don't like it all.
Yeah. I'm not a big elk fan. I tried it this year. Just, I don't know, man. It wasn't my thing. But I'm not really a red meat fan in general anymore.
I can eat red meat like every meal.
Yeah.
I used to be
that way.
You know, I think on the wild, on the game side of things, it's how you prepare it.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure.
Buttermilk. Marinate it in buttermilk.
Well, listen, let's hit a break. I feel like we could have gone down a whole rabbit hole with that because there is so much to be said about, you know, free range. We talk about free range and healthy meats and stuff. You can't really get better than actually hunting it. But we're so far down on time here. We should get to a break and get back with some questions. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Hey, Scott and I will be right back.
If you've enjoyed S2H's contribution to Blood, Sweat, and Gear and would like to learn more, reach out to his team at advancedtrainingtech.com. No matter what your goals are, if you're heading to the pro stage or just want a recomp, feel free to register at advancedtrainingtech.com. Team S2H will be available to educate and inform members as to what plans would best fit their needs, or just hang out and interact at the forums free of charge. That's advancedtrainingtech.com. Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
All right, guys, and we are back. For everybody who's listening that wants to take part in the show, please do. We can only put this show out because you guys send questions into us. So please take part. Go to forum.advicesradio.com. In the bodybuilding section, there are sticky threads for all the shows, Muscle Minds, Clinical Muscle, and Blood, Sweat, and Gear. We've always gotten a lot of really good questions for the show, and we appreciate it. Looks like there was a few that I might have missed, because a lot of times I get kind of ADD when we're going through this stuff, and if I ever miss a question that you guys send in, please let me know, because I definitely want to go back and catch it. We are on page 14 now, Scott. I see you keep up. I see you over there on the message board sometimes.
Yeah, I go take a peek every once in a while. I mean, when Skip's like talking for 30 minutes, sometimes I'll log in, see what's in there.
Yeah, there was one question that we missed here. Or maybe I just didn't do it. But I really want to explain this to this guy, because this is a really, really basic gear question, and I see where his issue is. And his username is Silverback66. He says, "Hey, guys, I have a question to settle a debate I'm having." And he says, "Is Sustanon okay to run with Tren?" I know you're scratching your head here, Scott. Here's his reason, though. He says, here's the debate. An individual is telling me that Sustanon contains a 19 NOR derivative, DECA, so it is unsafe to use with Tren. I, however, believe Sustanon does not, in fact, contain DECA. I agree that it does contain testosterone decaninate, but not nandrolone, commonly known as DECA. But he insists that DECA is DECA and that testosterone decanate is DECA. Scott?
No.
No. Yeah. Right. So what is the word DECA mean? What is decaninate?
It's an ester.
Okay.
It's just got, I mean, there's Sustanon has been butchered
right
through the years of you know, these, whatever you want to call them, UGLs, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been you'll see three, four, or five different kinds of testosterone esters in them. A true testosterone only has three esters, but they're all testosterone. Okay. They're just different esters, so they're all, you know, they're all releasing at a different time period. That's the theory, or that's the basis behind testosterone, is that it has a fast acting, a middle acting, and a long acting testosterone in it.
Okay.
Kind of cover all the bases. So no, there, but I mean, I don't keep up with the latest greatest as much. Could it be possible someone put DECA in a Cessanon? It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, anything could happen, right? But then we're not talking Cessanon anymore. We're not talking just test. So just because it says, you know, testosterone decaninate, that doesn't mean that there's any DECA in it. That's just the,
yeah.
And what we're talking about too, that's a really long acting ester, right?
Yes. DECA would be decadorabolin.
Yeah.
Not testosterone decanate. It would be decadorabolin.
Okay.
So it's a different, I think it's one of those things where it's kind of got a similar name in it, which, I mean, anything that's estered, say trend enanthate.
Yeah.
That's not the same as test enanthate, because the enanthate is just the ester.
Yeah.
So everything that's esterified is esterified in, you know, propionate, phenylpropionate, cypionate, enanthate, so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. So, no, you're probably seeing it, an ester. He's looking at the ester because the first three letters are DECA.
Yeah.
Thinking it's DECA. It's not DECA, it's decadorabolin.
Yeah, I know this is really basic stuff, but I figured it was important that we cover those things too, because we have people, you know, from all areas and levels of bodybuilding listening to us. And yeah, I've used my fair share of different, like you said, Cessanon blends. They're not really Cessanon.
Mm-hmm.
Omnos. You ever use Omnidrins? Or remember those back in the day? They used to be popular.
Oh yeah.
That was the, yep. That test, for some reason, broke me out incredibly. Like, I got terrible acne from it. Acne, specifically.
There was a lot of real-looking, not-so-real ones.
That's possible, man.
Over the world, over the time. Yeah. So I hear.
Yeah.
I mean, go back to the overseas military thing.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was very, was legally able to acquire in certain countries.
Okay. They're pretty cheap too. So from what I understand, Costa Rica, where I'm going to be heading at the end of this week, that you can go to the pharmacy there and pick up what you need for bodybuilding.
Yeah, I've never been there. I'm not too familiar with the what's going on there.
That's what I heard, at least. I'm gonna do a little bit more digging and research. Because basically, I'd rather not take my TRT with me. If I can just get it down there, I'd rather do that and not have to travel with it.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever. I mean, I have prescriptions that I don't even like to travel with them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
and because it just, I don't go away that long anyway, so. I mean, if you're going away for a week, I don't think it's even worth taking anything.
Yeah, tell me, you know, I get questions from guys all the time, be it from clients or just people on social media. They'll tell me, hey, you know, I'm in the middle of a cycle and I have to go away on business for, you know, 6 days or whatever. You know, how would you suggest handling situations like that?
I would say, let's say a guy's on TRT. He's on 200 milligrams a week and he splits it Monday to Thursday.
Yeah.
And he's going to go away from, he flies out on a Monday and he's got, I'm coming back till the next Monday. Just take like 300 milligrams. Okay. Right, just take two. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if you've been on it long enough,
yeah,
your blood levels aren't going to drop. There's not going to be any change. I would say though, if you're prescribed, I always say prescribed aromatase inhibitor. Yeah. I would take that, you know, because you're going to need to still use your aromatase inhibitor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Over that time period. But no, I don't, I can't remember the last time I went away long enough to really even think about it, take it, like my prescriptions and stuff. It's just extra crap you got to take and put in those bags. And
right.
It all goes through that screening thing and, you know, yeah. It's like, you know, the liquid laws or whatever they are for flying. Who knows? Right. Ain't worth it.
Yeah, that's the way I figure too, is the less I can take with me for travel, you know, just the better overall. But yeah, absolutely. You definitely want to stay on your AI. No question about that.
Plus, you got to know the laws of the country you're going into.
I think if you have a prescription though, you should be all set, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for every country, but, what's his name? Got nailed in Australia. He had prescriptions for,
I don't think he had a prescription was the thing for the growth hormone.
Sylvester. Yes. Sylvester. Yeah. I thought he did.
Yeah, I don't think he did was the problem. I think he just had it.
I would say the best thing to do is just contact the airline and ask them and find out what's going on. I mean, if you're legally prescribed something, because if something's banned in a country, I don't care if you're prescribed it, you probably still can't bring it in.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think too, you know, we talk about splitting your doses up, trying to keep consistent blood levels. And I think that that's all fine and good. But realistically, you know, if you were going to be going away for a week and you took your HRT, your weekly dose right before you left, even if you only ever took it once a week, you know, it might not be ideal blood levels, but it would work, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference to really. It's not going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Now, not taking your aromatase inhibitor that you're prescribed in that week period could get you a little funky towards the end because, you know, you get some estrogen,
yeah,
you know, some aromatase and stuff. But I don't go anywhere much. But when I have, I just take my HRT before I go, and so be it. Don't even think about it.
Right on. Next question. Signs of overtraining. How can I tell if I am at an effective amount of training and not overtraining? This is one we were kind of discussing a little bit before the show. You said you've got a couple guys you work with that definitely maybe are pushing it a little too far, huh?
I'll say in general, age is going to matter in the way you feel sometimes, but sometimes it won't. I mean, there's the tall tale signs of sleep, you know, losing, you know, not being able to sleep, you know, CNS suppression. So you start losing your appetite, you have trouble sleeping, you know, you're basically not recovering. So your body's is the central nervous system is suppressed. In powerlifters, a lot this is very can happen a lot. You know, I think people too also. Especially if you're taking a lot of pre-workouts, you know, along with a lot of heavy training, that can be problematic.
Yeah.
One thing I see in people is if you have to take a pre-workout to train, then you might want to reassess your training. And that includes cardio, because you can over-cardio yourself. Mm. And if you're training with high volume, high frequency. I don't see any need to train more than 5 days a week.
Okay. And what's the problem with pre-workouts that, you know, you had mentioned here?
Well, it depends on what you're taking, but I mean, they're CNS suppressants. I mean, they're just, you know, there's a lot of different ones, but
yeah,
but in general, what you're taking, if you're taking ones that release serotonin and dopamine, so you have this big flush of release,
yeah,
and then you don't have an uptake to recover from it, that could be a problem. People way overdo pre-workouts. I mean, I've seen guys take like insane amount, like well, they just one serving, they take four.
Oh, geez.
You know, and then that can lead to not being able to sleep also. And sleep's critical to recovery.
Yeah.
Too much coffee.
Mm.
Because then you're dehydrating yourself on top of it. So I think the main thing is, you know, you got this, you know, sleep issues. You're just not recovering well. joints are starting to ache, things like that. But also, if you're not growing, you know, some people, they're just not really putting on the size like they think they should. Mm-hmm. So they start training more and more and more, yeah. Which really they were overtraining to begin with. So now they're really overtraining.
Right.
And there's no recovery to you know, to allow the tissue to repair and to grow.
That makes sense. So
I'm almost like 4 days a week is like pretty much good in my mind for most people. Mm-hmm. Powerlifters less, probably three. And then five at the max. I like the 2 days off. And I know with a lot of people's schedules at work, regular jobs, they like to go right after work or right before work. So they'll do Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
That's cool because that works in your schedule. But if ideally, I like to split it, like do train Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesday off, train Thursday, Friday, Saturday, take Sunday off, something like that.
Yeah.
And then flip-flop your training. You know, if you're pounding away at, you know, 4 or 5 reps per set, you know, to just, you know, just kill, you know, just hitting a basic powerlifter type training, low volume, maybe take the next week and go just do machines and do higher reps and hammer strength or cables and stuff like that. Flip flop it around. It also works different muscle fibers too. So,
and speaking of all that strength decrease, I think that would be another sign of overtraining, you know. Not only are you not growing anymore, but you probably start either plateauing or regressing in your strength.
Yeah, regressing for sure, because that means you're just not recovering. You know, like back when we were all like 17, we did chest 3 times a week.
Right.
I guess when you're 17, you can get away with that somewhat.
Yeah.
But that runs the course pretty thin.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that I think that need to train the same body part twice a week. Legs is one that I don't think probably needs to happen.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, you're having trouble with tricep growth or biceps. But there's ways to mix that up too, to make sure, let's say you're doing back day, maybe hit a little bit of tricep work at the end of it. So okay. It's actually an opposite push-pull.
I've never done that. I maybe have tried it a couple times, but I've done more like the back, biceps, chest, and triceps, you know, I guess complementary muscle groups.
Yeah, I kind of like the, if you have a weak part, I like to complement it on the opposite day. So let's use arms. So you have an arm day.
Yeah.
So then on your back day, at the end of your back workout, do some rope push downs.
Okay.
Not a ton. You can do like 4 or 5 sets, and then maybe on your chest day or delt day or whatever, if you're having struggling with bicep growth, go grab I like to use that the little Nautilus preacher curl machine.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
And just do like 3 sets and then hit a drop set, just get some blood moving and everything, and that's complement to your already doing an arm day.
What rep range do you find works good for arms, because I know everybody varies. But what have you liked, say, for biceps, for instance?
It depends. I like to do drop sets. So let's say I was going to do 3 sets of easy bar curls, working sets. Probably do something in the first set 12, then 10, then 8.
Yeah.
And then maybe go grab like a 20-pound easy bar, like something really light.
Okay.
And then just do like a massive, sick, just, you know, pause, squeeze, high rep, just torture drop set. And that would be conducive to only doing like 2 exercises per bicep, or 5x5s is another one I like.
Yeah.
So say you had a 70 or 80 pound easy bar curl, do 5 reps, rest for like 10 seconds, 5 reps, you know, that continue that for 5 sets of 5.
Yeah.
And then go grab the 10 pound easy bar curl or something, or 20, and just start knocking them out.
Nice.
Until you just reach failure. And with a small muscle like that, you only really have to do 2 exercises. So you can do easy bar and hammer strength curls, or dumbbell curls, easy bar, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that. So you're pretty much exhausting the muscle in a short time period.
Yeah.
And that drop set pushes all the blood in there real good.
Right on. So really high rep stuff then. I remember when I first started training, I wanted, you know, I thought heavy weight is what makes the muscle grow. I would do like super, super heavy dumbbell curls, and I just ended up with wrist and elbow problems.
Well, like I said, 5x5 is just heavy. I mean, that's five reps. That's the max you can handle. A lot of times you have to drop down to a different weight because by the third or fourth five set of five.
But you're only taking a short break in between those, right?
Yeah, you're just catching your wind like 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. No, I'm talking like you could get – I was doing like sets of six and that's it. That's like all you got.
Well, yep. I mean, what I would say is after that is then go grab something really light, even a band, like a heavy band.
Okay.
Just start moving blood in there to failure. Just one torture set. Pause it in the middle. Different things, you know, change the pace, you know, negatives and stuff like that. I like that Nautilus Preacher. The one gym that I go to, now that I'm going to the gym again, has one machine that I really like. It fits me well. Cause some of them, you know, they don't fit you that well.
Right.
And, it works pretty good.
All right. Next question is about, ab training, kind of serratus muscles, kind of side abs. what do you think about training them? Is there anything people could specifically do to try to bring those out?
You can overgrow them.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to do. You know, I'm not one to like really look to target that so much because if you're a compound lifter, like a deadlifter or a squatter,
yeah,
you're getting some pretty good work in that area, in that core. Supermans, stuff like that, you know, planks, you know, your standard core type of lifts. Our core type of exercises, they hit the serratus pretty good. I see people doing like side jackknives and all these like different exercises that I'm not even flexible enough to do. I'm not so sure. You know, serratus is one of those things that it's kind of like calves.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you got them or you don't sometimes. Yeah. And that's the easiest thing to develop. But it also comes down to how lean you are.
Sure.
Some people just don't get lean enough and don't realize that they have some feathered serratus and it's just, they're not there. Body fat level is too high.
Mine actually come out before my abs do.
That's me.
Yeah?
Well, I can have zero abs and have feathered serratus.
That's funny.
That's not uncommon.
Yeah, I think for me it's the length of my torso. I got a lot of people asking me, you know, how to develop good abs. And, you know, like you're saying, I think number one is the body fat levels. But then number two, if you're someone like me that has a shallower group of ab muscles, then it's going to take getting your body fat low enough. Yes. But it's also going to take having developed those muscles and thickening them to an extent, you know?
Yeah. I know some guys that are pretty stuck on the broomstick twist.
Okay.
I don't really think it made that much of a difference or other than I just twist myself to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think the core, you know, like planking type of movements, you know, is probably going to be your best thing. There's also, I call them humpers, but if you lay on your back and you put your heels on a stability ball.
Okay.
And so so your knees are bent. So the ball's right up behind your hamstrings.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then you push out with your heels, straighten your legs out, but you keep your back and everything. You have to usually put your arms straight out with your palms down, and you push straight out. So you're planking yourself at an angle up straight.
Okay.
And most people do these like glutes and hams, but if you get it the right angle, it'll hit your serratus, it'll hit your core more than it will your like glutes and hams.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to kind of come up. You don't come up off of your. If you want to hit your glutes and hams more, you're going to raise your like spinal erectors, your glutes off the ground more.
Yeah.
With this, you're more going straight out. You're still at an angle, but you're not lifting your glutes off the floor as much or hardly at all. And that hits the serratus. It's pretty much the whole abdominal wall.
Yeah. You
know, spinal erectors to agree. But, I know most guys that have good serratuses usually have some substantial deadlifting or squatting in their background.
Okay.
Especially if they didn't use a belt.
Okay. Yeah, kind of more of a stabilizer. I mean, I guess the core in general is for stabilizing, yeah. So it makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, like I never lifted with a belt early on. And I, when I would get lean, serratus was pretty good for me.
Right. Well, I hope he can figure it out. Definitely, I think, too, one of the first things you mentioned, man, genetics are going to play such a critical role in the shape of your ab muscles because, you know, for me with longer, shallower abs, I definitely have to get leaner because if I could be in pretty decent shape and, you know, have freaking veins through my legs and stuff and, you know, still not have great abs. It takes me a while. It's just because of the shape and the length of the muscles.
Yeah. I mean, I recently, not too recently, but last year, I had a guy I worked with, and he was in great shape. He was taller, longer torso, veins in the abs, but he had very little ab development.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what kind of ab work have you done? And I picked him up later, like a couple, 3 or 4 weeks out from a show to work with him. And he said he didn't do any ab work, didn't do any core work.
You're like, yeah, I can see that.
That's something he's focusing on now because it's, you can have veins all down through your stomach, but there's nothing there. It's just flat.
Now,
and it wasn't body fat. It was just nerve development.
Now, I don't know about what works for you and what you suggest people to do. I found for myself that just, 5-10 minutes post-workout, maybe 4 times a week, that's plenty for me. That's all I need. I don't have like a dedicated ab day, but if I stick with that and I keep my reps high and I focus on contracting and squeezing those muscles, I don't do like heavy weighted ab work. I find that that's enough for me to get some decent abs once I'm in shape. What do you suggest?
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I think you just do, I pretty much, I'll do the same thing, 3 to 4 days a week post-workout, like frog kicks.
Frog kicks. I don't know what that is.
Okay. So like if you have a bench that goes into a machine, like where you do like barbell rows seated on a cable, the benches that are around the cable machines.
Yeah.
Just sit on it side the other way. Not like you'd sit towards the machine.
Oh yeah.
Long way and just sit on your rear end and you take your hands and you can, after you get really good at them, you don't even have to use your hands anymore. You just put your hands on the back of the bench to rest and you kind of lean back. And then you just put your knees together, feet, bent, and then you frog kick.
Bring them up to your chest, right?
You don't have to bring them all the way up.
But I mean, that direction is what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The more tilted back you are,
you
can feel it'll hit your whole entire abdominal wall from top to bottom.
Nice.
It takes a little practice. It's a little balance and then a little bit of core strength to get good at it. But actually, even in my unfit state right now, I could do frog kicks like forever.
I forgot about these, to tell you the truth. I remember I used to do them all the time. I totally forgot about them. I'm going to add those back in.
Yeah, and the more you lean back, the more of your full abdominal wall is getting worked. So if you're more upright, you're not getting near, you're mainly hitting just the upper abdominal, but as you lean back farther. Now you don't want to fall back over, but as you get more comfortable, you can lean back farther and then you'll basically hit the whole entire wall up and from top to bottom.
Hmm.
And then once you can not use your hands and do them, just with your glutes on the bench, you're actually going to work the serratus in and everything else. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to work that back in. I'm going to move on to the last question then, man. I'm crashing over here. I need to eat some food soon. We've only got one more, so that works out fine. He says, I started training about 8 months ago, and I focus on the big, basic movements, compound lifts. When should I focus more on bodybuilding-style movements, isolation work, etc.?
How long has he been lifting?
Says 8 months. So he's pretty new, but he sounds like he's sticking with, bench, squat, deadlift, working on these compound things, which now, first and foremost, we should note those things are going to develop his arms, his shoulders, his, you know, buys, tries, everything else, right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, he is really kind of covering everything to build a foundation.
Yeah, I don't think there's a magic number, but I think if he's starting out mostly with compound movements, yeah, that's the way to start out. Where does the time come in to start doing more bodybuilding, like isolation type exercises?
Yeah.
It could start within a couple of months, but I think the thing I see is either A, people ignore compound movements because they don't want to squat, they don't want to deadlift, and they just do bodybuilding, you know, isolation lifts, which can work for some people. But if you look at a lot of guys that are really have great physiques, if you look at their background, they come from a powerlifting background.
Okay.
And so they've built, you know, a lot of the, a lot of their tissue off a lot of these compound movements, and then they've implemented bodybuilding movements in as they became got into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
But I think in about 7 months he can start to implement them in. Just don't leave the compound. Don't dump the compound movements. Don't go, okay, I'm done with compound. Now I'm just going to go do curls and leg extensions. You know.
Right.
I'd say like, and maybe implement them slowly. So, let's say he's just squatting on leg day.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he's killing it. It's, you know, he's sore. It's working. Maybe throw in some ham curls or lunges. Lunges actually be a good one. So maybe cut back the squatting just a hair because you're going to have something left in the tank to do the lunges and do some barbell lunges. And then maybe from there, a couple of months, you know, see how your body feels. And then maybe you'll do 6 sets of working squats, 3 sets of working lunges, and then you'll go and you need, let's say your hams are, you know, not quite there, or you need a little more sweeps, so then you can go do some ham curls or leg extensions, work that in. And you got to be careful too when you're new to training, because overtraining then is, can really, can cause some injuries, tendons, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'd be easy to do. He might even need, I mean, if he's only doing big basic stuff, I wonder if he's doing that all in the same workout. You know, it might take kind of breaking up the split. If he was, say, doing like bench, squat, dead 3 times a week, you know, it might take, like you had said, you know, we're assuming that he's doing a leg day. Maybe he wasn't. But if so, it might be a time to start, you know, switching the split up, because obviously it's going to take more time when you start adding more exercises in, right?
Yeah, that, and don't get stuck in a rut. You know, I mean, we've all been there. It's chest day, you do this. It's leg day, you squat. You just do this, and you repeat the same, you know, the same thing over every week.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of guys plateau. And that's why I don't like keeping books, like records. Like, okay, last week I benched 225 6 times, so I'm going for 7 this week, 7 this week, and that's all you ever do.
Yeah.
Unless you're a competitive, I mean, even if you're a competitive powerlifter, they don't even do that. So you need to mix it up. So if, say you're doing, go to incline bench, go to incline dumbbell presses, and legs, go to have maybe squat 1 week, and the next week do leg press and front squats.
Yeah.
Back squat the next week and do lunges. So mix it up.
That's been my problem with my log booking, is that I do want to, I like to switch things up, and I'm not under the same circumstances, you know, for several workouts. So, you know, I might squat, we'll say third, you know, this workout, but then next time, you know, maybe I did this squat leg press combo superset that I just did. Obviously I'm not going to be able to get as many reps there, and it might not be for like 3 or 4 workouts until I actually get back to that same scenario where I say did hamstring curls and then did squats.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying logbooks are terrible. Like,
yeah,
what you're doing, I see the purpose, because you're not going to get back to that same training for,
it's hard for
maybe
me.
3 more leg days.
Yeah, that's what's been making it hard for me, is because I do, you know, I do put that variation in there, and I've been trying to keep a log, but that's what interferes for me, is just how much variation there is.
Yeah, I would say where the logbook can hamper people is when they're doing the exact same lifts, every body part or whatever, certain days of the week, and they're just looking at this logbook going, okay, I did these two lifts last week for chest, and I'm going to do them all over again and try to get one more rep or add 5 more pounds. And then eventually you're just in this bad rut because you're just repeating the same lifts. You know, that's why I kind of like the free weights 1 week, heavy, 5x5, stuff like that. And then the next week, tell the guys, I want you to try to stay all on hammer strength cables, machines at a higher rep range. And then the next week, go back into your lower rep range and your heavier weights.
So you basically have two workouts. That would be pretty easy to log.
Yeah, you just have two separate weeks. You have, I like 5x5. It doesn't have to be 5x5, but you know, 5x5 with the drop set. So I have, those sessions are going to be shorter because obviously you're not going to be doing as many repetitions or sets, but it's, you know, much, it's very, it's a lot of strain. And then when you go into the next week, you go to the machine, the hammer strength. I'll give you an example, chest. So I got a guy, he flat benches, he dumbbell at a partial, at a half incline dumbbell presses. And then he does either a burnout with pec, drops out with pec decks or dumbbell flies. That's his chest workout. The next week, he'll do hammer strength, cable crossovers, and actually even push-ups. And or something, a variation of that. And vary it, you know, even the chest press machines and all those type machines on the machine week. And on that week, he's getting more reps in, a lot more reps, more volume. In the other week, it's a lot less volume, but more like what's the like DC?
Oh, okay, DC training.
So more like you can do that more like 1 week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then switch to something lighter.
Okay.
The next week, because eventually, if you're killing it, I mean, most powerlifters, they don't even max out. You know that. They'll have a heavy day. They'll have a speed day. They'll have a you know, a day that's just centered around certain body parts that, you know, are for those lifts. Let's say they're a competitive bench presser.
Yeah.
Triceps, lats, rear delts or something. And they'll mix that up. But they only have, really have one heavy day a week, if that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Usually most of them only train Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or sometimes some of them only train 2 days a week. Depending on what kind of poundage they're moving.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that lifestyle, man. I mean, I understand it, but I can't imagine having that much intensity that I would require that much time off. Like, it blows my mind.
Well, I mean, I would say in the case of some of these guys where they're moving such heavy weight, that injury is something to keep in mind too. You're talking, we're not talking bodybuilding here, we're talking moving, you know, guys that are bench pressing, you know, raw, pressing 600 plus and stuff like that. You got to be real careful. So
yeah, no kidding.
If you're getting that, I mean, I would say that most of the guys I know that have torn a pec have been nowhere near their maximum weight. It's just that they've overworked that muscle, and that's where the injury comes in.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of strength, you still you talked to Nate Payton? Still, he's down there. We had him on a long time ago on the show. He was a great guest, man. He had a lot of really cool stuff to say about strongman.
Yeah, I actually talked to him when Joe was down. We went and visited with him.
Okay, he's over there. What is it, Monster Gym?
Yeah, Monster Gym. Yeah, it's pretty far from where I live, but we took a ride over there, and he's still working with man. I don't want to say his clients are, but some people know. It's his business, but
is he still working with who he was working with before?
Yeah, he's still got Brian Shaw, I think. That's pretty well known, but he's got he's got three of the top 10 guys in the world now.
No,
three
kidding.
Or four. He's working with multiple guys, international and domestic.
We need to get him back on the show, man. He was a lot of fun too.
Oh, that'd be no problem. I'd give him a call.
All right, let's plan on that.
Yeah, and he's got a new, Nate and I have known each other a long time, so we've always tossed around a lot of ideas and discussed things. And so some of the things that we're doing with Joe and some of his, you know, the glucose genesis through amino acids and stuff.
Yeah.
Is also, and I'll let Nate talk about it, but it's something that they, in Strongman, that's being used too.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't want to, not my place to talk about his business. So if he wants to come on and talk about it, that's it's interesting though. And it's, obviously it's effective.
Right on. Hey, we had another question, or not another question, but a comment about last episode. We were talking about using Proviron, which for battling combat binding SHBG. Southside Viking commented, another option, which is Danazol. And I know that that's legally available to be prescribed in the U.S., so that would be just another option. He figured he'd throw it out there for us. I didn't even think of it because Proviron would have been my go-to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to work. I mean, almost all your DHTs have some effect of binding.
Yeah.
I think to comment back on that conversation we had, though, you have to be careful, though, because some people say, oh, I want to bind up all this SHBG, but you need some SHBG transports proteins in the blood.
Hmm.
So you don't want to bind it up. So, you know, it's kind of like dropping your estrogen way, way down.
Okay.
You know, it comes to a point where there's a point of diminishing return to that also.
Okay.
So it's, that's where blood work's crucial to see what's going on, because if the SHBG is like it's your Uber driver.
Hmm.
So it's driving things around, you know, in the bloodstream. And if you don't have any Uber drivers or taxi drivers, whatever you want to call them, then you're not shuttling proteins in the blood and various other nutrients and things.
Right on.
Well, you know, but it works.
Well, good information, and thanks for sharing that with us, brother. Thanks. His name was Southside Viking. So that's all we got here, Scott. You know, you said you're back in the gym. You training today?
Yep. It's chest day, man. National chest day.
That's right. It is.
No, I'm not doing chest though, because my chest is sore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the things I did Friday, was trying to pump some blood in there to just get some of the soreness out. Today is going to be, I'm going to go for a ruck march and then do some leg stuff.
We've pretty much got through this whole episode without talking crap about Skip, and this was a perfect opportunity for all the crap that he gives you. I mean, you got anything for him? Anything we should part on here?
Well, he's hung like a Belgian studded field mouse. So, according to his wife, she told me. Did you hear about his new leg workout?
No.
So he's got like a 10-speed bike, but he leaves it on the 10th speed, and he chases that drug dealer on the bike up and down his new neighborhood.
That new, his new neighborhood is.
Yeah. That's his new leg workout. I actually talked to a friend of mine that trains at the same gym he trains at.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I said, have you seen him in there? He goes, is he bald?
And brown. Go, yeah. Real brown.
Bald. He's probably got the melanotan, the tan. He goes, oh, I've seen that guy. I go, he'll pull his pants down while he's squatting or something. But my buddy's not one of those like talkers in the gym.
Yeah.
He's like, go in and trains by himself, gets it done.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll chat. He's from that area. Lives right. Actually, he lives literally like right around the corner from Skip.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's a pretty nice area Skip lives in.
It sounds like it, man. Yeah, and minus the traffic, too.
Dude, the traffic, he was talking about going out on his bike.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I've been down there enough. My in-laws live down there. I don't know. I guess you can go find somewhere to go cruise.
Yeah.
But I have never, outside of like driving at midnight or something, have never driven anywhere up and down that whole eastern coast from, let's say, Jupiter to Miami.
Okay.
That is not like a freaking just stop and go accordion stop.
That sucks.
Oh yeah, I mean from Fort Lauderdale to I was down at Delray Beach.
Okay.
Florida, you know where it's at?
I don't know the geography down there very well, but
from there to my in-laws live Jupiter Island, it's like, I don't know, 29 miles, maybe 30 miles.
Wow.
It took me like an hour and 10 minutes to get there.
Really?
Yeah. It's like stop, go, stop. You better pay attention.
That's like L.A. traffic is what it sounds like to me.
It's horrible. And it's like that when you can be going 70 and all of a sudden it's just jam on the brakes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll find somewhere to go out in the central part of the state. I don't know Florida as well in the other parts of the state other than the Panhandle area. And, you know, you can go over the Panhandle and ride. Not too much traffic.
Yeah, just a matter of getting there from where he's at. It's a big state. But, hey, listen, we're out of time. We will have Skip back next time. And, you know, he probably won't hear this, so we can just tell him that we talked mad crap about him for the last hour.
Yep. He's up there freezing.
Yeah, with me.
Yeah.
All right, guys. For Blood, Sweat, and Gear and the Vices Radio Network, S2H, and not Skip, I'm Scott McNally. We'll see you soon.
Out.
Hey guys, this is John Meadows.
And this is Scott Stevenson.
I invite everybody to come out to our seminar, Bodybuilding Fact and Fiction.
Thursday, March 1st at the Doubletree Suites in downtown Columbus. Just before the Arnold Classic festivities, come on in and meet John Meadows, IFBB Pro, the Mountain Dog himself, and Dr. Scott Stevenson. Stay all day from 9 a.m. to noon, then after lunch, 1 o'clock till 4. Starting out with an a.m. pancake breakfast, then all-day lectures. Q&A as time permits, plus best bar ever, and pre-workout from Granite Supplement Speed Force to get you on your way to the gym. For more information, go to drscottstevenson.com. That's drscottstevenson.com. And hope to see you guys there.
At Vices Radio.